Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to get together, and it's always good to be able to get back together. The last time we were together, we talked about restoration or being restored. And today I just want to talk about life for a little while. In John 10 and verse 10, and Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." The Message Bible says the thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. "I came so that they might have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." You know, we have been lowered into this dimension of time, and there's two ways that you can look at this scripture, which one is in the natural, which most people look at, but there's also the spiritual life because of who we are, that we are spirit beings that came out from God, that have been lowered into this dimension of time to be exercised by it. And Jesus said that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly, or that we might have it to the full till it overflows. This life that we live, Jesus made a statement that in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. God is teaching us that even in all of the aspects of this life that we are living in, the things that we're walking through here, that we can have victory in the midst of it all. And that He came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Now in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, and then we're going to read 10 also, but in 9 he said, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began." The Amplified reads this, "For it is He who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness." I think 2 Timothy 1:9. I think that it's interesting to note that the mentality that God has given us in our consciousness as He's opened it up is to realize that it's not of us. That this work that He is doing within us is of Him. It is Him that delivered and saved us and calling us with a holy calling. And it is He that did this. I mean, He is the one that is bringing us back into Himself. We came out from God. We've been clothed with this outward cloak of flesh and blood. But in essence of it all, we are, as the Word says, as He is, a spiritual being. And then it also says that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. And it is He. And then it says He did it, not because of any merit that we have done, but because of and to further His own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now the verse I want to get to is actually the 10th verse. "But it is now made manifest," unveiled. It has been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished, that word abolished is to disannul or to do away with, death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death, to light through the gospel. Now, you know, the word is used in two different ways. The church system today majors in the don'ts of the Word of God, in the punishment of God, and in what we don't do or what we shouldn't do. That's our whole message of condemnation and judgment. But thank God, God has brought us from that. The gospel is not that. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the whole world, and that through him, all creation is going to be brought back into him. So he annulled death. And notice the word "who hath" in the King James. In the past tense, you know, that's an interesting thing, that he has abolished death at the cross. You see, God is saying to us in this hour, listen to the things that he has said concerning us, to the reality of the words. I mean, we pass over these things so easily and just go on because we really don't have an understanding of them. But we see here that he has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light, to revelation, to unveiling through the gospel. And he has done it for us. I mean, he's abolished death. And he's brought light and life and immortality to light through the gospel. In Colossians 1 and 21 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, it's interesting that we read these things and that God has brought revelation and understanding. It's very plain here that he's made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all. He doesn't say part or you know, there's just a few, but all things unto himself. But then he goes on and clarifies it. He says, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, that Jesus Christ has come to reconcile all back in himself, to give life and glory and deliverance to all of his creation. That he has come to do that. And the 21st verse says, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled. In the Amplified it says, estranged and alienated from him. Now, man in all his descent from where he came from, in his consciousness, and only in his consciousness, has man been separated from God. You know, that's something that we need to really get into our being. Is that only in our stinking thinking have we ever been alienated from our Father. Man was not alienated because of the things he did in the Garden of Eden. God has never divorced himself from man. Only in man's thinking was man ever separated or apart from God. Wasn't on God's part, but it was on man's part. That we were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, but he says, yet hath he now reconciled. He has brought us back into himself. And in Galatians 5:16, he says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In 5:25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I know that, walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit in the essence of what we came from or came out of was going around and praising God openly and speaking in tongues or shouting. All of these outward things. But walking in the Spirit is not something that is outward. It is an inward manifestation of God within us. That God is drawing us into Himself. We are spirit beings. That is our nature. That is our natural being. That is not something that we have to work up. But it's through the revelation of God's Word within us, showing us who we are, that we are now sons of God. We are now His children. We are now the sheep of His pasture. We have been reconciled to Him. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. The world's been reconciled. We've been reconciled. Now God is unveiling the pathway that is leading us back into Himself. And we're walking in areas that we've never walked in before. We're hearing things that we've never heard before that are foreign to us, that are different, because God has sent Jesus to bring life and immortality to light through the gospel in us, to restore us to that position that we were in Him before the world began. That's who we are. We are as He is. And He's saying these things to us over and over again to get them down in our being. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we hear these words, as we accept these words concerning us, when it says He has already abolished death. That's already done. But you say, well, we're still dying. Yeah, this physical body is still dying. But the spirit man is increasing through the light of the gospel day by day. God is birthing His Word within us. That as He unveils Himself, as we see Him, we are becoming more and more like Him. And the fact of the matter is, we're already like Him. But our mind has not taken that. Our consciousness has not accepted that fact yet. That we are as He is in this world. That He is a spirit being. That we are a spirit being. That we are walking in His footsteps. And in these verses, he tells us that if we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. And in Romans 8 and verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and I want us to notice this, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, in verse 2, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life. You know, that the law makes it concrete. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has, past tense, made me free from the law of sin and death. Think about that. He's made us free from the law of sin and death. He is revealing within us the things that we already are, who we already are, that we are already a spirit being, that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. God's manifested sons in the earth are going to walk in the revelation and the unveiling of manifestation when we come to that place of understanding of who we actually are. You think of that. Who you are. I mean, we've been taught all of our lives, 99% of what is taught in the church system of the world today is the don'ts. Anywhere there is a don't in the Bible, that's a part of it. What you don't do. But it's not what you don't do, it's what you do. It's what you be. What God says about you. That you are His son. Now when you think about being a son, that means as He is, you are. When you've got a child, a son or a daughter, they are as you are. And that's what He says about us. That as He is, so are we in this world. Past tense. It's past tense that He has abolished death. It's past tense that He has delivered us from the law of sin and death. Those things have been accomplished in Christ. Jesus, the man of Galilee who died and who came forth from that grave, clothed upon with that new immortal body that could eat and could pass through walls, the very Son of the living God, that said, because I live, you shall live also. And yet we look at these human bodies and we look at our aging and deterioration and everything that's happening in them, and we say, oh God. But Paul said it's not what is seen, because what is seen is deteriorating and passing away with the using. But that which is not seen, hallelujah, is eternal in the ages. That He is bringing forth within us, He is opening our eyes to see the reality of the life of the Christ that is within us. That He has set us free from the law of sin and death. And that what the law could not do, because it was weak in the flesh, God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin in the flesh. You see, that He might condemn it. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, that's what He's trying to tell us, to know who we are. That we are a spirit being that is in His image and in His likeness. That we have the promises, precious promises, that we are partakers of the nature of God. We are as He is. In Romans 8 and verse 9 it says, but you are not in the flesh. Listen to that. He says, you're not in the flesh. You look at that and you say, well, God, I am in the flesh. No, He said, well, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice what it says. Already the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, what we are focusing on, what we see, is what we're focusing on. But the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Their spirit. We are a spirit man, and God is just drilling that in us. Our consciousness is just being enlightened and expanded day by day as we look into that spirit realm and see those things. Now in verse 11, he says, if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now we know he does. He dwells in us. It says, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, or make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now think about that. I just want us to think about that for a while. Looking at the things that God has said about us. And then the question comes, do we believe what he has said about us? You know, do we believe what we just see with in the natural? What we're looking at is this body of flesh and blood. We're looking at this natural realm. But that's not who we are. And he said here that if the Spirit, or since the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. And we know he dwells in us. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in us. See, he makes us alive. Your mortal bodies. What do we believe? Do we believe what we see, the aging process that is fastly heading us toward a grave? Or are we beginning, hallelujah, to look into that spiritual realm and believe what the Father has said about us? That he has set us free from the law of sin and death. That he has abolished death. That he is quickening or making alive our mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in us. God is just opening up our spirit, our consciousness to understand. You see, one of the blessed things that I believe that God has given us is a teachable spirit. Most people have, they're just, you know, everything is set in stone. They've written all their beliefs and all their doctrines and everything in stone, and it can't be any other way. And anything outside of that is a heretic. But beloved, God gives us peace. As he unveils his word in us, he gives us peace concerning that word, that we may not understand it fully, but we know that it is his word that is speaking in the midst of us. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice, and they follow me. And we are following the Lamb, and he is making alive our mortal bodies. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, now notice this, this isn't something that we can do ourselves. But if you through the Spirit mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you and I, through the Spirit, not in our power, it's not by power nor by might, but it's by my Spirit. It's not what I do, it's what I be. It's Christ in the midst of me. It is the Christed life coming up and whelming up and overflowing within us as we're as His Word is unveiled within us. It is the Spirit of the living God that is birthing life and joy and peace and deliverance in the midst of us. It's what we're focusing on. If we're focusing on this natural, then He says, if therefore we're not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we put through the Spirit, we can't do it. You look at, man has wrestled all of their lives with the trying to be what they're taught to be. That's what the church system does. It tries to teach us to the do's and the don'ts of Christianity. And it's what Paul went through in the 7th chapter of Romans when he talked about the things that I would do, those are the things that I don't do. And the things that I would not do, those are the things that I do do. But then in Romans 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. You see, it's where your focus is. God's opening up, expanding our consciousness that we are coming out of all of this that we're in. If we look at the natural man, he's dying. This body of flesh and blood is wasting away. The wrinkles are coming. And in the natural, it says, it's happening. But Paul said, you do not look at the outward. For the outward is perishing with the using. But what you look at, hallelujah, is the Christed life that lives within us. That is growing our consciousness, that is expanding in the spiritual realm. Our being inside that is being birthed in this hour. That God is birthing a son that will be clothed upon with that immortal tabernacle from above that Paul longed for. That we will be clothed upon with immortality and incorruption. To know the fullness of Him who hath called us out of darkness and put us in the kingdom of His dear Son. We're there. Eternity dwells within us. Hallelujah. And through the Spirit, we are putting to death the deeds of the body. And by doing that, we are going to live. God sent His Son to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. God sent His Son and abolished death. God sent His Son and set us free from the law of sin and death. God sent His Son that we might be birthed or manifested into the glorious sons of God, corporate Son of God, with Jesus Christ as the head, the great army of the Lord marching through this land, delivering creation from the bondage and the curse that it's been under. Hallelujah. God's got a people. And I have said it before, but we have been predestinated unto victory. The good work that He began in us, He's going to complete. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And it's not the Word that is written, but it is the Word that the Spirit speaks within us. For the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And God sent Paul, a man that was so steeped into the Jewish religion, a man who was proud of what he was doing. A man with papers within his hands to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, struck down. And in an instant, his life and his pathway totally changed and reversed. God took that man and brought us the words of life, the unveiling of the words of life in the New Testament. His whole ministry was about life. And that's what he's bringing to us in this hour, to realize the fact of who we are. Life is dwelling within us. Eternity is dwelling within us. And God's just expanding our consciousness and our hearing and our seeing and the revelation that is within us to see the reality of what he's saying, of what he has already done for you and I. How wonderful and how glorious it is. I mean, when we are just so blessed. How can we ever be anything else but praise? Because we are so blessed by the things that we have seen in the Word of God. Be so blessed by the knowledge and the understanding of who we are in God and the work that He is accomplishing within us and bringing forth within us this hour. We are a blessed people. We are a royal priesthood, a kings and priests that are in training that God's bringing forth in this hour to be a ministry that is poured out into creation. Full of His love and peace and joy, that there's no condemnation, that there's no judgment, that you can look into the face of the lowest individual in the world and tell them God loves them and they have already been delivered from everything that they are, hallelujah, and that they are because the seed of the Christ is in every individual. And God is bringing us forth to make that declaration into creation to set creation free. How can we ever praise Him enough? How can we ever thank Him enough? He is worthy to receive all of our praises. And I was reading, Preston Eby made a statement that the greatest thing is to become that you are, that He is. You know, To actually be not just go around praising, but to become praise. You know, to become praise. To become as He is. To be an expression of the Christ in the earth in this hour. I tell you, God's not going to bring back angels to do His work on earth. God's not going to bring back another super evangelist to do His work on earth. God has individuals all over this world that He has been training and revealing His Word into for years that He's going to use to be an expression of Himself. A declaration, hallelujah, of Himself into creation to set creation free. Life is what it's all about. Life. And being in the spirit of Him who has called us out of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Lord, we just praise You and thank You and bless You this morning for everything that You're accomplishing within us. Hallelujah. Amen.